Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for April 7th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me in cyberspace is Jim Allen. How you doing, buddy? Keeping warm? It's freezing out here.
Is it true that in cyberspace, nobody can hear you scream?
Only if there's a tree falling.
Wow. I didn't hear that. Okay. Well, I am in cyberspace, but me and my buddy are linked up, and we're ready to rock and roll.
Yes, and I got two blankets on. I mean, it's like winter has come back, but
John Gibson has two blankets on in August. So two blankets means it's warm.
Yeah, sometimes that's true. All right, well, on this week's show, we've got an interview with the Giants setup man, Scott Matheson, and we're going to discuss the CL and some other hot topics and answer a great listener question. So let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
All right. First of all, we have a trivia question for John.
Oh, it's my turn. Oh, no. I'm going to blow
you
this
might,
one.
You should know these. These are old ones. These are oldies, but goodies.
Okay.
So, as you know, we've had a couple of franchises change hands in recent years. We had the Kintetsu Buffaloes went out of business, and the Oryx Blue Wave are no more. They're still the Oryx Buffaloes, so they don't count. And Daiei turned into SoftBank, and Yokohama turned into DeNA, and that's all very seamless. But in 1988.
Oh, man.
Hold on.
I don't like the year.
Yeah. Well, there are some things I regret about 1988, too, but let's not get into that.
All right, in 1988.
In 1988, Nankai sold the Hawks to Daiei, and Hankyu sold the Braves to Oryx.
Okay.
Now, this was some time ago, but two players who you know of, they're very recent, were the last two players to wear the uniform, the last two active players to wear those teams' uniform. The last remaining Nankai Hawk and the last remaining Hankyu Brave. I'll give you a hint. One of them is retired, and one of them is still active. And it isn't Masahiro Yamamoto.
I know, because he's never moved from the Dragons. So, old guys who are one still playing. Oh man. I'm in the interest of time. I'm just gonna give up. But I can't think of anybody who's old. Who's still playing? I should be able to get that one. The other one, I'm probably
okay. I'll tell you, he's a player coach, and you won't know he's still playing because he almost never plays.
Well, that doesn't help. Go ahead.
Okay, he's with the Fighters, and he's a catcher.
A catcher? No, I got no clue.
Satoru Nakajima.
No.
It's the last remaining Hankyu Brave.
Okay. And who's the other guy?
Noriyoshi Omichi.
Wow. Yeah.
Former Giants pinch hitter extraordinaire.
Well, I would never get those. So, yeah. Stumping John is not as hard as it looks. Stumping Jim Allen is quite the feat.
You did a good job last time.
Because it's tasty enough to where, you know, you think you know it, and you probably have it on the tip of your tongue somewhere, but it doesn't come through. But this one, I had no chance.
Okay.
No chance. All right.
I'll have to think of an original one. One that I haven't thought of in the last 10 years.
Okay.
I caught up with Scott Matheson, one of the hardest throwers in Japan, if not the hardest thrower.
I would say the hardest, yeah.
On Tuesday in Yokohama before a game against the Diener DeNA Yokohama Bay Stars. Scott was coming off a loss in the season opening series against Hanshin, and I was curious about how about his routines and how he monitors his form and so on and so forth, and how he's adjusted to Japanese baseball. So a brief background, he pitched in 15 big league games, all for the Philadelphia Phillies, and 89 in AAA, all for the Phillies AAA teams. And that's where he became a closer 1 year with the Lehigh Iron Pigs, I think they are. It's Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. I don't want to insult anybody from Lehigh Valley. So, okay, let's have a listen to what Scott had to say.
Okay, our guest this week on the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast is Giants reliever Scott Matheson. Thanks for being on the show for I can't guess how many times.
Of course, thanks. It's always a pleasure.
Love to hear it. Okay, now this year you're entering your third season here in Japan, and you know the Giants didn't win the Japan Series, but how is this team different from last year's when you come in?
I think it's, you know, we only got better. You know, last year was disappointing, losing in Game 7 to a team who I thought we were a lot better than. But, you know, that's the way baseball is. It happens. And, you know, this year we only improved our team. So, you know, I think our shots getting back there and hopefully, you know, reclaiming the title are pretty good.
Okay. Now, let me ask, when you find out the team's a lot better, of course you see it in camp and you see it in the preseason. Do you follow the transaction? Do you get any information about what's going on with the team as soon as you've left?
A little bit. You know, I have one of my really good friends in Canada. He speaks Japanese, and you know, he follows us now, and so he's always keeping me up to date. And you know, I'm always trying to find stuff on the internet, but you know, a little bit, some stuff surprised, but for the most part, I try to keep you know, keep up with it.
Okay, one of the big additions this year was, well, two big additions as far as the foreigners go, Leslie Anderson and Chris Seddon. What do you know about those guys?
Just from what I've met them in camp and, you know, a little for the last 2 months being around them. And, you know, Leslie's a great guy. You know, I honestly don't know if I've seen someone who works harder than he does. You know, he really puts the time in, and he works real hard. Chris is a good guy, real goofy guy, you know, always joking around. And, you know, so hopefully both of them can have solid seasons.
Yeah, it'd be nice for him coming over after the season he had in Korea to come over and, you know, do something similar in Japan.
Oh, yeah, definitely for him and for us. You know, when we signed him, I saw his stats from Korea, and, you know, I hope he can just repeat that or be somewhat close to it.
Yeah, okay, now, when you start the season, I mean, obviously you have a routine in camp and you have a routine in the spring, but when the season starts, that's all out the books and it's just what you got on the field. But so some days you got a good day and some days you got a bad day, but when you're doing well and how you're doing poorly, how do you respond to that in terms of your self-analysis and trying to get back into a groove?
You know, honestly, for me, ever since my last surgery, I kind of just take it day by day. And, you know, if I have a good day or if I have a bad day, once I leave the field, it's over. And, you know, it really doesn't affect me. You know, this year, obviously, my first game was not that strong and gave up all of the runs I gave up last year in one game. So, you know, it happens. It's baseball. And luckily, I got to pitch the next day. And, you know, hopefully, it only keeps getting better.
Well, that was one game. Do you make much use of video in checking your form?
I don't. For me, it's more about field, you know, just feel base and the way I feel when I'm out there. You know, if it gets real bad, I'll definitely get on the video. But, you know, for me, I know I can feel what I'm doing wrong. And, you know, I'm just trying to make the adjustments. And, you know, sometimes you can know what you need to do, but it's hard to make that actual adjustment. So it's just repetition and, you know, something I work on every day while I'm here.
Over the course of your career, have you made your mechanics much more simpler in order to be able to do that?
Definitely. I don't know. I mean, they're not as elaborate and as big as they used to be. I think I'm a little bit more compact now, but, you know, for me, I always believe, you know, be long with my arm and, you know, stay closed and have a strong front side. And, you know, when I start flying open a little bit, that's when I struggle. And when I'm closed, that's when I do well. So, you know, that's kind of my key I go off.
You and every other pitcher in the game, I think.
Of course, yeah. And, I mean, it's all about reputation and being able to repeat your delivery. And, you know, it's the hardest thing about pitching.
Okay, now, this is being your third year in Japan. Do you have days when you say, you know, this isn't how baseball's supposed to be played? Or
not really. You know, I enjoy it over here. I really enjoy the way baseball is, and I enjoy, you know, practices and just our, you know, the season can be kind of long. You know, I definitely don't like all the off days. You know, that's the hardest part about being over here is just there's way too much time off.
Days off in terms of not playing days off.
Yeah, definitely. And
do you have any non-practicing days off?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, I'd rather just play every day. I'd rather have, you know, those 18 games in a row than, you know, playing six games, day off, six games, and it just makes the season drag. And, you know, it's easier to stay in a routine and, you know, be able to keep going when you keep playing. And, you know, you get used to that after a while. At first, it's hard, but you get used to it.
Okay. Well, let me ask a little bit about your routine in the bullpen, because one of the big things in Japan is the bullpen relief mystery about the guys getting up and throwing all the time and every day. And one of the former Marines relievers, Yasuhiro Yabuto, told me that if he doesn't throw 2 days, if he goes 2 days without throwing because his arm feels funny or something, he doesn't know what to do with himself. He feels completely lost.
You know, for me, I can't do what these guys do. And, you know, obviously it works. You look at the injury history here compared to the States, and, you know, they're doing something right. But, you know, for me, I throw a lot more now than I ever did before coming over, but still not to the extent that some of the relievers here do.
Why do you throw a lot more? Is it to because you're asked to throw more?
No, definitely it's on my own. You know, it's just more observing what they do and trying to get on their program. You know, I really believe in what the trainers are teaching me, and, you know, I'm really trying to get on, you know, the program over here and get more onto the Japanese style of playing than, you know, away from what I did before.
How's your communication with the coaches? Do you get, do they sometimes come to you with something you say, wow, that's really clever, or that's really odd, spot on?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I find it's the same here as it is in the States, where, you know, you'll have coaches, multiple coaches telling you, you know, all the same thing, but in a different way. And, you know, sometimes it's just one, you know, one coach that says it a certain way that's able to click. And, you know, for me, you know, if I'm doing something wrong, I want someone to tell me, and, you know, I can try to make the adjustments on it.
Now, speaking of adjustments, have you come over here and somebody said to you, this is something you should do more? This is a pitch, or this is a look you should have, or a step, or something in your motion that you thought, wow, that's something I could do?
Not so much since my first year over here. You know, when I first got here, I had to make a few adjustments to be able to adjust to Japanese baseball. But since then, you know, I haven't had really any drastic changes like that. And, you know, I'm always just trying to tinker with, you know, different stuff and new pitches, and, you know, trying to learn from these guys and, you know, watching the splits and the shootos. And, you know, I'd love to be able to start picking up some, you know, some of those.
Okay, do you have any times when you say to yourself, wow, that's really cool about Japanese, about the game? Is there something about the Japanese game that you particularly like that you would miss if you weren't doing it? Other than the weekly day off that your rhythm.
Yeah, I don't like that, but, you know, just the way we practice and, you know, having two cages on the field is, you know, so efficient. And, you know, I feel like just I like a lot of stuff, and, like, the practices and the stretching and, you know, the trainers and the stretching program mostly I'm on that I really like. And I think that if I were to go back to the States or something, I would definitely have to keep doing that, and I'd feel kind of lost if I didn't.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, well, thank you very much for being on the show. Appreciate it. Look forward to the next time.
Of course. Thank you.
Well, thank you again, Scott. You know, it's always great to have people who are just willing to, you know, put aside whatever they want to do and sit and talk with John or I. So we really appreciate it.
Yeah, big thanks, Big Scott. Appreciate it. And good job to you, Jim, because I know you didn't have a lot of time to prep for the interview, and the questions were all really good, and it was a really good interview. So thanks.
Wow. Well, that's easy with Scott, because he just answers everything straight off the top of his head, and it's all very easy to understand. So what did you think about what Scott had to say?
Well, he had a lot to say, and you know, I was listening, and of course, you know, I wish I could have been there to do the interview or talk to him, but the first two times he's been on the show, I've been the one who talked to him, so I guess it was your turn.
Yeah, last time I went out to get him at Tokyo Dome, and that day he decided to come in through the entrance that the media has no access.
Oh,
come off the field.
Tell the truth.
Through the exit that the media has no access to.
Yeah, tell the truth. He saw you waiting.
If he'd seen me waiting, I'd be a dead man.
No.
Shot me with his bow.
He took the easy way out.
Should have mistaken me for a beef cow or something.
You're too tall. Anyway, and skinny. You know, the first thing that hit me was he didn't hesitate again to state for the record, I guess, that the Giants were the better team last year. But you know what? The Giants are usually the better team than most of their competition. That's normally the case. They go out and they have a lot of talent. They bring a lot of talent to the field. and it's about who gets the job done. So obviously they didn't get the job done, and we all expected them to, and we all picked them. And then I think a lot of the country was rooting for the Eagles because they, you know, the country wanted to see, or at least the people around that I've talked to wanted to see a different winner and didn't want to see the Giants win again. But
did we both pick the Giants?
I know I picked them.
I don't remember if I did.
I'm pretty sure you did. I think you picked them as well. But in fact, yeah, I picked them in 6. I think you picked them in 7. So I'm pretty sure, but you can go back and check. Anyway, we got the record out there.
I don't care that much. Okay.
But you know, he said the team got better, and that's an understatement, because one thing that I respect, and I always talk about, obviously, whether it's preseason or a regular season game, is the Giants put an emphasis on winning games.
Yep.
And doing the little things you have to do to win those games. And in the off season, they did what they needed to do to get better, and they went out and they improved at a few positions. They got Leslie Anderson. He really looks like a keeper, this Cuban player. You know, whether he produces as well as he has the first couple weeks here, we won't know, but he's got a nice swing. He looks like he's going to fit in. He's a professional. They got Kon Otake, whether he's great or not, I don't think he's great. He was a guy who made all of his, you know, he held the spot in the rotation. He had a decent ERA. He's not a great pitcher. He's not a lights out pitcher, but he's decent and he's adequate, and he's an upgrade from what they were sending out there in terms of guys who sometimes last year, in that number 4 spot, guys didn't hold the spot in the rotation. There were injuries. There were just different names coming up. They brought up some rookies. I think Kon Otake is going to keep that spot, and he's going to be able to pitch for him every once a week. I want to always say every 5 days, and that's not the case in Japan. It's once a week. But
or every 6th day. I think that's probably it happens sometimes. It used to, you know, oddly enough, they used to have a 6-man rotation. But it seems
to make sure you only threw once a week, right?
No. But it's devolved.
Yeah, devolved. I also enjoyed hearing about the personalities. I mean, you know, we saw Nigel Morgan last year, Tony Plush. You know, he was crazy. He didn't disappoint. He always put on a show, and we knew what he was. But some of these other players, you see them compete, and it's hard to know what their personalities are like. And to hear him talk about Chris Seddon being a goofy guy who's always joking around, that's great insight, because we really haven't seen him on the mound yet. I've seen him in a couple of preseason appearances, but you know, I like hearing about the inside stuff and in the locker room kind of stuff that we don't get to know about because we don't get to see these guys. I mean, you know, the one thing about Alex Ramirez, even as a Yomiuri Giant, he was fun. He was very serious about his job, but he was still fun. But we don't see that atmosphere a lot around the Giants. I mean, there's not a guy who's like a prankster. There's not somebody who's always joking and smiling. Everything is so deadly serious, and with good reason. I mean, I don't think it's even to the tune or to the tone of the Hanshin Tigers. But it's still, the atmosphere is, hey, we're here to win. You know, everything else comes second. And so it's good to know about that stuff.
Yeah, I think there were a couple of things that I was, well, of course, I was interested in all the answers, but the fact that, you know, what I really enjoy is asking different players more or less the same questions and seeing how they, you know, see the world is so different.
Mm.
Like how they make adjustments or how they do to keep their form. I mean, I know pitchers who, every game, before and after, they're looking at their form from when they're good to see what they're doing right.
Right.
See what they need, and, you know, and checking and checking and checking and staying. And do you check it? No, I know how it feels when it's right. If my arm feels right, I'm right. If I'm not flying open, I'm okay.
Isn't that? Yeah. And I thought, because he's still 30, but he's still fairly young. And you know, you get in tune with your body when you're doing things right and when you're doing things wrong and you've done it for so long. And I understand. And I love the fact that he said he doesn't need the video to know what he's doing wrong. But the thing about pitchers is they're so successful generally more than 70% of the time. So that if he's not hitting his spots and he's still getting guys out, he can still consider it a rotten outing and go out and say, hey, you know, I need to do this, or I wasn't doing this right, and I wasn't getting the pitches where I needed to be getting them. Because, you know, in the end, that can be the difference, depending on who the batter is. That can be the difference between getting a pitch right down the middle and thigh high and a couple inches outside the zone. And you know, a little bit above the belt, you know, and that makes a difference when a hitter's swinging at a pitch that, for example, when he gave up a home run to Matt Burton, I think it was the second game of the season. It was at right. Tokyo Dome, and it looked like Matt just ran into a fastball, but, you know, that pitch just got too much of the plate. And I think if Scott would tell you, he'd probably say, hey, look, I was trying to get it in on his hands, or I was trying to get it out, you know, off the plate and maybe have him swing through it, but it ended up catching the middle of the plate and catching the bat. So, I mean, those little subtleties make a big difference in terms of the hitting, the hitters having success or not.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is that he, you know, his whole focus is on his arm and whether his arm feels right. I mean, yeah, there were other things, but he said pretty much, if my arm feels good, I'm good. My arm doesn't, you know, because he did have to go back and have it checked the year before. It wasn't last year, it was the year before last.
Mm-hmm.
He went back to have it checked in the middle of the season, and it was troubling him that all that year. And he said since then, since he's had arm trouble, that basically his daily existence depends on whether his arm is good or not.
Mm-hmm.
That and the other thing, which is, you know, kind of struck me as interesting is, You got the feeling that almost he was born to be in Japan to play Japanese baseball when he says it's all about repetition. The practice is good. it was like the Stepford pitcher.
He's been reprogrammed.
and I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's like, Scott's always very upfront, and I don't think that's a con at all. I mean, I know people who say that and don't mean it, but I'm sure he does mean it because it works for him.
Mm.
He's had success here, and it is interesting to hear that he throws more in the bullpen now. You know, not Japanese kind of like work in the bullpen where it,
right.
You know,
well, you overwork in the bullpen.
Yeah, where you confuse most of the middle relievers for pitching machines. because they're always going in the bullpen. And so that he likes that and the one thing he doesn't like is having a day off.
That's what I was going to get to. That's the part that didn't sound very Japanese to me. And he's right, because a lot of times when you look at these big league schedules, you might see, you know, if you look on the calendar, you might see 3, maybe 4 days in a month where there's no game. And even those are usually travel days.
Yep.
That they have a day off is nutty, and I've always thought so too. But you know, I remember as soon as he said that, I'm thinking, yeah, but you don't have to go out there and stand out there for 9 innings at first base or in center field or at short. You're a middle reliever. Sometimes you don't even get to work. so talking about playing every day, I mean, I don't know.
I think that is definitely a reliever's perspective.
Yeah, yeah. But I agree, you know, all the off days, I prefer to have them play. I don't, you know, the travel is a lot, unless you're in Hokkaido or Fukuoka all the time. I think the travel isn't that bad. And
even Fukuoka, it's a Shinkansen to Osaka. So
yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, like I said, I've tried to tell people about playing 10 days straight is no big deal, and they make it such a big deal in Japan when they're going to be even 9 games in a row without a day off.
In Japan, they make a big deal out of every change of routine.
Mm.
Pitcher's working on 5 days rest. Oh, how is he going to handle it?
Oh.
5 days.
5 days rest.
It's like, yeah, it's like, what is it, the Cuban Missile Crisis they're talking about?
Do they know what they're doing?
you'd be mistaking this for something important.
They're breaking new ground with their arms.
Yeah. Somebody asked, a reporter asked me last year, one of my But I think it was Mr. Yasuoka from the GG Tsushin asked me, what do they say, what's the English word they use for sliding a starting pitcher after a rainout? I said, we don't have it.
Yeah.
After a rainout, normally the guy pitches the next day.
Yeah.
Because they're going to play a doubleheader.
Yeah.
Most of the times they're playing a doubleheader the next time. It means that guy's going to pitch the next day and they're going to need 2 pitchers.
Yeah.
They don't have this concept of pitching, detailed pitching strategy of sliding or maintaining the rotation or skipping a start. I mean, they do it sometimes if the guy's hurt or something, but give me a break.
Yeah, well, the other thing about playing every day, the one thing I wanted to mention was that really tests a team because you have to have good players, you have to have depth, you have to have it throughout the system because you can't just be good on the top team and you can't assume that all the players are going to be healthy the entire season. So it tests the general manager, it tests the farm system, and it tests the manager on the top team to make moves with players and give people rest.
Well, it would.
While trying to win games, but not here in Japan.
Well, it would if it was in Japan. In America, it's a different test because you can't, you know, in Japan, you have 70 guys on the road. Now, granted, those 70 are not all available to be called up at any moment. Of the 28 who are available to you at a moment's notice because they're already on the active roster.
Right.
So there's that. You never need to use an emergency pitcher in Japan because you've got an overload of pitchers on your roster to begin with. You'll have three starters who are deactivated for the day. So essentially you've got a 28-man roster.
Right.
The other thing is that there's no limit to how many times you can call up a minor leaguer in Japan because they're all major leaguers.
Mm.
That's not exactly true. There is a rule. Some people actually are listed as second team players, and they can only be changed. Their registrations can only be changed a finite number of times during the season. But those are usually first year kids, and then if they look good, they'll switch them out. Mm. But essentially, they could, you know, guys can come and go at will. In America, you send a guy down to AAA three times, and you're going to lose him.
Right. Right.
You know, they're very strict about that. You in the U.S., you have to do a lot of work with your roster to be able to manage that.
And that's the whole test, you know, for the whole season. So, yeah, it's a different game. It's a different perspective. But the Giants, their perspective right now is that they're looking down on the rest of the Central League, thinking you guys, just like Scott said, basically you guys can't touch us, and they're pretty much right. Although Hiroshima is playing really well.
Well, playing, let's put it this way. They have won as many games as the Giants. Playing really well and having won as many games as the Giants are not exactly the same thing.
Well, they're going to face them this week starting on Tuesday in a three-game set at Tokyo Dome. So that's going to be obviously another test for them. But, yeah, I think they're – you know what? For them – this is the first time in 27 years that they've won the first three series to open the season. I don't care how you get to the point where you've won the games, you've won the game.
Well,
so whether you're playing well or you're winning, you know, I'm going to make them one in the same 2 weeks into the season.
Well, I've seen, you know, I know you complain. You know, I don't know, complain's not the proper word.
I've lamented their poor defense at key
clutch situations.
Key situations.
They had one of your John Gibson Karp days today, but they survived a 1-0 game. I mean, it was like, it's almost as if on pop flies in the infield.
Wait a second.
today, I'm telling you, it was almost like on pop flies in the infield. They were playing bingo to decide who was going to catch it. And one time there were three guys converging on the mound and said, Maeda's going, like, are you guys insane or what? Am I going to catch it? Okay, you guys are insane. I'll take it. It was pretty weird.
Okay, back up a second. What did you call this now? A John Gibson what?
Carp game. I think we're going to call it three errors in a game where they blow a lead.
I think you're going to have to, first of all.
They did it the other day, too.
Yeah, yesterday. First of all, you got to come up with a better little
okay, a more
name for that.
Something, as long as your name's attached to it, it's got to be something.
Well, I don't know that my name should be attached to it because I didn't bobble anything. And I didn't throw anything away like Dobayashi, all right? So I don't think it's my fault. So but
you're the originator of that thought.
How about this? I'm the most vocal observer of that situation. I don't know about me making it up.
When I was doing a story, I was doing a little Central League preview the other day, and I noted I wanted to talk about Kikuchi, and you know that Kikuchi led the Central League in infield, like he led the entire Central League in errors last year. He made 19 errors, but you know how many errors he made from the end of June? 5.
Mm.
And on top of that, I think he turned more double plays himself, you know, being involved in double. He was involved in more double plays than two Central League teams.
Wow. So, yeah, no doubt. We know he can get to a lot of balls. Yeah, we saw it. We came back. I think you and I.
You looked like you belonged with the Carp. he proved that, you know, the Carp are a team that aspires to have players like him. So anyway, moving along. I'm sorry. I digress.
All right. So, yes, the Giants are playing well. The Carp are, I want to say playing well because
I think they are playing well. Sure, they're playing. They're playing like the second half Carp that we saw last year.
And this is what, in part, we anticipated, partially because Kita Kaihue was there from the start of the season, or has been here from the start of the season. Brad Eldred is healthy, and those guys have been producing.
Knock Mac there. Here's Wood.
Oh, yes, and they've been producing, and, you know, they've been hitting the ball hard, and that counts for something because they bring a presence to the lineup. But the Giants have been, I mean, they've been scary. They've been winning close games. They were down in a game on Wednesday at Yokohama. I know you know because
yep.
We talked about it.
I was there.
I saw you tweeting, and this is the Bay Stars have to lock down games that they're leading, and they were leading a game 8-3 on Wednesday, and they went into the eighth inning. Hisanori Takahashi had pitched fairly well, and he went into he gave up back-to-back-to-back home runs. They took him out, and then eventually got to the eighth inning, and they were up 8-3, and they came out of the inning trailing 13-8.
Yeah, it was, and it was like 8-3, and it seemed like 30 seconds later, I turned around and looked at the TV, and holy smokes.
Yeah. Holy smoking.
It was something smoking. Yep.
And I emailed Michael Westbay, and I thought, well, you know what? You've got to lock down these wins when you have them, and you can't just throw guys out there to maybe get through an inning because you have a 5-run lead. You're the Bay Stars. You know, you haven't finished in the top three since 2005, wasn't it? I mean, you know, this is going on 10 years. So, you have a game to win that's winnable. Put your guys out there, your horses out there, ride them to the end, and then worry about tomorrow when it comes. And they didn't. They brought in some other guys. Let's just put it that way. And then they end up bringing in...
They brought in guys I don't know.
Yeah, well, Osada I kind of know.
Chuchiro Osada, I remember, his former Lions number one pick, and Yamaguchi and Hayashi came on in the end, and Yamaguchi gave up 6 of those runs. So that's not a bad, you know, that's sort of like... The guy who was there, you know, the chance to lock it down when it got into trouble.
Well, you know, the way I saw it with Yamaguchi is you know, the murder had already been committed, and he was the guy who walked in and picked up the gun when the police walked in and saw him with the gun. I mean, it wasn't his fault, and he didn't do anything. You know, he's a guy, he needs those bases to put guys on because he doesn't have great control. And he doesn't want a groove run down the middle because he's basically fastball slider. So they're sitting on his pitches anyway. He can't afford to groove one down the middle. So he's got to put guys on sometimes. And when he's got nowhere to put them and he can throw strikes that limits his confidence too, but it limits what he can do in terms of getting guys out. You know, it's kind of like see it, hit it, or here it is, hit it. And sometimes they do. So I don't blame him. I don't blame him. So, you know, just stuff like that the Bay Stars are going to suffer through with their manager or with their bench, the brass that's on the bench. I'm not sure I trust them as far as I could throw them, but that's a tough one. You know, the Giants end up winning that game. Was it 15-8? 15-9? Yeah. That's sad. You know, I don't know what the players are thinking. You know, how many runs do we have to score so that our bullpen doesn't blow a lead? 15?
Maybe, yeah. Well, we had, you know, just oddly enough, the Central League has been sort of like this week was sort of like a time bomb going. We had, that night we had another 15-run game. Wait, what is it with the Tigers? they're an accident waiting to happen. Every time the Tigers step on the field, somebody's going to score 10 runs.
Well, it's really sad, too, because a friend of the program, Matt Merton, had a career day on Saturday. He hits 2 home runs. He drives in a career-high 7 runs. And I think twice, two of his hits put him in the lead, and they couldn't hold, you know, they couldn't hold that. They ended up losing the game 12-11. So yeah. 23 runs total scored in that game. And then they come back today, and Merton, what did he have in this series? He had a heck of a series. He had 10 hits and he had 12 RBIs in the three game series and 51 runs combined. They had 23 runs today on Sunday, 23 on Saturday, and 7 in game one. And, you know, this is the kind of thing we are used to seeing at Jingu when it's hot. But it was cold.
Well, what? It's windy, you know, and it was windy as all heck today.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
People were having trouble holding on to the ball. I mean, the ball was a tough catch today.
Well, you know, I was thinking on Saturday in about the third inning, I was thinking, you know what? If I warm up my arm and get down there in time, I think I can get some mound time, you know?
Well, I was saying that to my colleague Dave Houston that I could one of the games was on TV today. I said, you know, I could have thrown that pitch actually to be, you know, one that left the park. And actually, that's probably not true. I probably couldn't have thrown a pitch that good.
Yeah. Well,
I could have thrown one that would have got out of the park.
Yeah. Well, I can reach my plate. I won't be bouncing the pitches up there. And they all look like knuckleballs.
That was my fastball, dude. Nice curve.
Yeah. But we see the problem with some of these teams in the Central League. I think it's going to run rampant throughout the teams that are going to finish that I predict will finish in the bottom half, which is the Tigers, the Dragons, and the Swallows. And I think those are the three teams that I have finishing in the bottom half. And I think it's relief pitching. For all three of those teams, I mean, even starting pitching in some of the respects back into the rotations are not as sharp and not as, they're just not as deep. And so by the time you get to these games at the end, this was supposed to be ace weekend though, right? The Aces went again
Friday.
On Friday. Yeah.
Friday was good. Friday was
Ace Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday we had, you know, the number twos and number threes going out there, and it just didn't look good. So that, you know, this is one of the reasons I predicted these teams would not do well. And it's still early. There's still a lot to wait and see and factor in. But I think this was a preview that we're going to probably see games like this again, especially between these two teams, especially at this park.
Well, yeah, that happens. I mean, as we'll get on to it a little bit later.
Okay.
But, yeah, so that was sort of the thing with the Central League this year. I would point out, through the first seven games, the Giants team on base percentage, so including their pitchers, 450, 544 slug. You know, this is like, they have these numbers, they're like Bill James numbers, and I say this because one of the things that Bill James used to do back when I was young was to say, if you had a team made up of nine, you know, Shinosuke Abes, how many runs would they score?
Oh, yeah, I remember those, yeah.
Yeah, so if you had a team of nine Hiromito Ochiais, how many runs would they score? And basically you look at that as a measure. You can find out how many runs a player can contribute by finding out how many teams of that caliber or what teams do to score runs. You can find out what players contribute. Well, the Giants are a team like, if you took not Vladimir Ballantyn, but if you took Tony Blanco and gave him 290 at bats, that's what the Giants look like right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's absurd.
They're crazy. They were batting 400 as a team, I think, going into that game on Saturday, which is nutty. So, just kind of crazy.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
They were the best base stealing team in the Central League, and they'd struck out a Central League low 35 times. They only had nine, they didn't have a lot. They only had nine home runs, which was not a lot. So I guess a better comp would be somebody like Matt Mert.
Yeah. Well, they finished up after Sunday's game. They were hitting 362 as a team. So let's talk about the
They're slumping.
Yeah, let's talk about the Pacific League real quick and then move on. The Oryx Buffaloes, we dissed them royally in our prediction show, and particularly me. I said, you know, I don't want to.
Let's get who dissed who here. I didn't pick them last.
Oh, well, yes, but you also said you didn't want to talk about them anymore.
True. Okay, fair enough. I'm talking about
predictions are predictions. I mean, you know, you can slap someone with a prediction and it doesn't hurt, but when you slap them with a, hey, I don't want to even waste our time talking about them, I think that leaves a mark. That leaves a mark. But
I guess I feel years of you know, touting. I've always loved the talent on the team and the organization's ability to produce very good pitchers over and over and over again, and then have no idea what to do with them. But they have gotten good play out of this year. They have played well so far. Their pitching is so far healthy, which is always a problem with them.
Yep.
And they won six games, and they are in first by. They have a two-game lead in the Pacific League as of Sunday afternoon.
Six-game winning streak. Their longest since last year. even though they were fifth place last year, they won six in a row. And then remember, they led the PL in ERA last year at 3.31. I mean, this is not a team that can't pitch.
Yeah, this is something that is very interesting to me because, historically, it used to be, I think this is a ball effect. Although I don't know. Yeah. But we'll talk about this in a moment. But there's a surprise to do with Kyocera Dome and so on that I have a conundrum. Mm. So anyway, they did lead the league in ERA. That's true, which means to me pitching and defense. And I think Itoi on your team is always a good thing.
I
think it's a good shortstop. So
anyway,
moving along. The other thing that was interesting about this week was the other team, which was the winless Chiba Lotte Marines, come in and punch Nippon Ham's lights out.
Well, you know, that's another team that I predicted wouldn't finish very high, so that's not a surprise to me.
No, it's not a surprise. It's good news for Steve and Craig, because our Marines fans extraordinaire, who have just been suffering through the beginning of the season, but they finally got on track and they swept it. They pounded them pretty good today.
Mm.
So,
I had one more note about Oryx real quick. I just want to talk about Willie Mopena because he had been making so much noise with the bats. And then we started to, you know, I saw a newspaper article that said he was on pace to hit 120 home runs in the season after eight games, or after seven games. And I'm thinking,
right there.
Yeah, that's kind of nutty. But a long time ago, I talked to a player and he said that after he was traded and he went to this new team, that the coach on the team, one of the coaches on the team told him, hey, this is how we game plan to get you out.
Uh-huh.
And they corrected his issues. And it looks like that might be something that Willie Mopena is experiencing, because you know, he seemed to be worried a lot about striking out. And I remember talking to Brian LaHare last year, and I remember him mentioning that they wanted him to make more contact. And he talked about the contact factor. And I think that was something that Willie Moe was, because I remember you talking about the fact that before he came over that he had struck out X percentage.
I have a line. I forgot at the moment what the line is. I'm going to say it's 20%, but it could be 25%. That the history of Japanese baseball, the number of successful players here
mm-hmm.
who struck out, we'll say it's a quarter of the time in AAA, is not very good.
Yeah,
most of them fail. Most of them fail very quickly.
Yeah.
And when I saw Pena struck out in almost a third of his major league at bats and over a quarter of his AAA at bats, and that was, I thought that was red flags all over the place. But he was a best nine player in his debut season two years ago, and he's looking like a best nine player again.
Yeah, and it looks to me he's not worried about striking out. He's looking for fastballs and he's punishing the ones in the zone. Although he did hit a curve for a home run the other day. He's getting a lot of high pitches or pitches that are borderline, you know, fastballs, and he's getting to them and he's knocking them out. So, you know, when you have production, because we thought about them losing Lee DeHoe out of the heart of the lineup, right. And We were wondering where the runs were going to come from, and Esteban Germán has been wreaking havoc on the base paths.
Which he does.
Which he does. It's good to see them doing well, but it's still just a couple weeks, people, so I'm not going to be sold on it. We'll have to see. But I did see a note that they were over 500 for the first time since 2000. I'm sorry, they were two games over 500 for the first time since 2011. So that's big for them.
We'll see how that goes. It's going to be fun. I mean, like I said, if their pitching stays healthy, you have to like Oryx to some degree, because they have and Mahara has actually gotten a few innings where he didn't give up any hits.
Wow.
And that hasn't happened since the middle of the 2011 season, I think.
Wow. Okay.
Speaking of the Hawks and things that the Hawks do, telling their players not to strike out. I got an interesting tidbit the other day from Brian Falkenberg, who's now with the Eagles, and I didn't recognize him in a red shirt. he mentioned that, you know, he loved his time with the Hawks, but he said that he felt that Akiyama last year, I don't know if it was panicked is the word, because I don't think Akiyama panics, but the Hawks front office basically felt that their starting pitching collapsed early. According to Falkenberg, the issue became, I guess, when the starting pitchers started to fall apart, the rotation started to collapse. They had the bullpen going full speed ahead from early in the season and every day, and it got to be a habit, and basically they got burned out. So I was thinking, well, this is something I could look up, and basically to tell you what the data looks like at a glance,
mm-hmm.
The Hawks bullpen in March and April was so good that you'd think they didn't need starters.
Mm.
You know, get a guy out three innings and then bring in the relievers. It was that good.
Yeah.
It blew away the league. And then what happened was in May, they were okay. And then after that, they were kind of mediocre the rest of the year. Now, I don't know what that means, but it means that what Falkenberg's saying, and I can't say what he's saying isn't true, but the cause and effect may actually be there. I mean, it makes sense, but, you know, the jury is out, not because it doesn't look that way, but, you know, all the evidence I've seen so far would support that the Hawks ran through their bullpen. And he said the Eagles are different. Of course, the Eagles are different because they didn't actually have a bullpen last year.
Yeah.
As we saw in the Japan series, the bullpen ended up being Norimoto and Tanaka. So which happens in the Japan series. But he said that because his manager now is a pitcher, he understands that you can't get the relievers up in the third inning right after they finished their daily bullpen session,
right.
and then have them do that 3 days a week, and then bring them in and expect them to be useful.
Yeah. Well, when you told me about that factor, immediately what I thought is that they've been pouring through relievers. Mm-hmm. Maybe the past 4 or 5 years. So I went through and I tried to think of who the relievers have been who I have seen a lot and who I don't see anymore. And one of the names, and these guys are with different teams, both of them, but Yasushi Kamiuchi, he pitched a lot in 06. He pitched in 86 games, and he's never been the same. And Keisuke Kato, this guy pitched in
7. That works, yeah.
Yeah, he made 76 appearances in 2010. He's with Oryx, you said, but I haven't seen him in a while. I haven't seen him pitch well. And then Takahiro Mahara, you talked about him now getting outs, and he's had arm trouble. He made a bunch of appearances a bunch of years in a row. Masahiko Morifuku, 60, 65, and 57 appearances the past three seasons, and I don't even remember him really getting 57 appearances last year because he was hurt, and he was still making appearances. Falkenberg, since he was with the team since 2009, made 46, 60, 53, and then he got hurt. And in 2012, he only made 23 appearances. And then last year, he was suffering with injuries going back and forth on the...
Well, last year certainly was a shambles. And he was saying that he said that there wasn't a guy out there with a solid arm at the end of the season.
He said there
were guys who weren't hurt, who hadn't been sent down to the farm team, but their arms were tired.
Yeah. I mean, Tadashi Setsu, who is now their ace, I think he became a starter to save his life. Because he made 70 appearances in 2009 and 71 in 2010.
Yeah.
So I think he just figured, you know what, if I'm going to throw this much, I might as well just be a starter. And then, they can't make me do all these other things. Yeah. All right. Well, good. Thanks for bringing that up. That was a good topic. And we'll keep an eye on their relievers and see how they do throughout the year. That'd be a good thing to keep an eye on. All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, the question we have is from Steven Martin, and I didn't use his middle name, although his Twitter handle and his email handle have all three of his names. But I'm just going to go with Steven Martin because I like Steve Martin.
Okay.
He says, how would you rank the regular home grounds of the 12 NPB teams in order from hitter's park to pitcher's park? I'm particularly interested in the Central League.
Okay. Well, I was hoping he'd ask to rank them on the quality of their pizza, but we could have brought in Wayne as a special guest commentator. But we'll talk about first of all, the most extreme parks are in the Central League.
Yep.
So just off your hands, what is and we know this, and now the great thing about, for me, for somebody who collects numbers, the great thing about the new ball is that everybody's using the same balls at the same time. So we really have a good handle on how the parks affect the game, because the teams used to change the balls every year. They used to use different balls, and it was really hard. So, but now we know. So off the top of your head, let me just ask you, what's the best hitter's park in Japan?
Well, I have to go off the top of my head from what I see. And you know me, I've been talking to players for years and saying, where's the ball carry better and which way and which direction?
Well, for years don't matter because they change the ball. So the years are.
Well, but yeah, I've been watching and I can still tell. And, you know, even today there was a ball, not today, I think one of Matt Mertens' home runs, he hit it to right field. And I think the wind got part of that one and took it out. I'm going to put Yokohama up there just because I've seen some balls float out of that place. And it used to be, for me, it used to be Tokyo Dome. But since they've changed the ball, I think I would have to go with Yokohama. But I think Jingu is a close second.
Well, the answer is...
The answer?
In terms of, okay, the answer is the park which sees 52% more home runs in this team's home games than their road games.
Uh-huh.
The answer is Jingu Stadium, Yakult Swallows.
Okay.
Next at 32% more is Tokyo Dome.
Tokyo Dome, okay.
30% Yokohama.
Yokohama, yeah, see, they're close.
Yeah, and then we get the first Pacific League team, which is Cebu. Now, Pacific League's kind of a funny league,
well,
too.
Well, Stephen said to rank them,
By league?
Yeah, by league.
Okay, well, anyway, we'll forget about the people in the middle because that's not so interesting. The best pitcher's park in Japan in terms of home runs and runs.
I know it.
You know it.
I think I know it. Because it's a sneaky one.
It is. What is it?
Oh.
Well, you know it. Tell us.
It's Hotomoto Stadium.
Ah, well, that may be, but I don't think so. And I'll have to tell you, I didn't rank them actually by stadiums.
Okay.
And the reason I didn't rank them by stadiums is because they play weird numbers of games in their home parks.
Mm. Okay.
In the main parks. Okay. I doubt it's Hotomoto Field in Kobe or Green Kobe
Green
or whatever it used to be.
Green Stadium Kobe, yeah, whatever
okay.
they used to call it.
It's Nagoya Dome.
It is? All right. Well, I mean, there was I also saw the numbers. I saw some numbers, and I did some numbers, some work on my own. And, yeah, Hotomoto had the worst numbers, and then Kobo Stadium, Sendai.
Miyagi.
Whatever they're calling it. The K Stadium. How's that?
Yeah. Well, it's been K. Yeah, it's been AK.
And then the third worst was Sapporo Dome.
Okay, I have in the worst in the home run rankings, the worst is Nagoya Dome.
Mm-hmm.
Next worst is Koshien.
Mm-hmm.
Next is Yafu Okudo.
Mm-hmm.
Then Kobo. Then Matsuda Stadium. Then QVC. Then Sapporo Dome. Kyocera. I'm surprised Kyocera. Actually, I'm not surprised Kyocera's. Kyocera is an enigma. And I say this, it's not actually Kyocera. It's an amalgam of Kyocera and the Buffalo's other park, which is Kobe. They play about a sixth or a seventh of their games in Kobe.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah. And here's the catch is that, Kyocera Dome is a very good home run park, but it's a very poor hitter's park.
Hmm.
Okay. Go figure.
All right. Well, I mean, I've seen some balls that place is weird. I've seen some balls that didn't look like they should go out. And then I've seen some balls that looked like they were just line drives, but they carry them off the wall out there and bounce back onto the field, you know, sometimes.
Yeah. It's always been a good hitter's park and a good home run park. And, I think the thing with Jingu is that before the new ball, the Swallows used to use a very dead ball.
Yeah.
A ball that's about as lively as the current one. So the fact is when in those days, there was no doubt about Yokohama and Tokyo Dome were by far the best hitters parks in Japan because of the ball. They were using the Mizuno balls and the Swallows weren't. So anyway, so that's that. The best hitters park in the Pacific League is Seibu Dome. For anybody who cares.
Yeah. Now, I remember Tadahito Iguchi was telling me about QVC Marine Field, and I said, it's so windy that the ball probably doesn't carry well there. And he said, it depends, but a lot of times if you hit line drives, the line drives carry out to center field, I think he said. Center to left.
It's never been a real good home run park. It's a good park to hit for average in. The Yokohama is a good park to hit, to score a lot of runs in. I think, and again, part of these things, some of the ratings are the fact whether they play day games. In outdoor parks, you tend to see more runs scored.
Right.
So, okay.
All right. So, well, that's it. Steven is from, well, he's a Hanshin fan, so I'm assuming he might be from living in the Kansai area or has some affiliation with the Kansai area. So I assume he goes to maybe, or he has been to Koshien to see some games. And that's a beautiful stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Just the ball just doesn't carry there, and it's kind of a big stadium.
Well, I mean, just in case anybody's curious, Koshien, since they've remodeled it a bit, they remodeled it several years ago, and it used to play pretty normal for right-handed hitters. The problem is the problem is it didn't carry to right field, and it carries better to right field now. And I forget why that is. I think the stands are higher now in right field than they used to be, but the breeze blows in off of Osaka Bay into right field. And
right.
They don't have that. The left and right hand hitters don't have that problem. The other problem, of course, is that the power alleys are enormous.
Yeah, it's a cavernous field. All right, by the way, Michael Westbay, the JapaneseBaseball.com administrator, blogger, and sabermetrics expert, put together an algorithm, he says. And he figured out, he made his predictions for the season through this algorithm, and he said the Carp are going to win the Central League according to this algorithm. And the Giants are going to finish second, and then the Tigers third. Then he's got the Swallows and Bay Stars and Dragons in that order finishing up. And then in the Pacific League, he's got the Hawks with the Buffaloes finishing second, and the Eagles third, and then the Marines, Fighters, and Lions out of the playoffs. So that's interesting. We'll see how that plays out. Algorithms and everyone else using different methods and different ways of coming up with their predictions. I just went by trying to measure the talent and trying to figure out who's going to stay healthy.
without using a single number.
Without using a single number. All right, Stephen, thanks a lot for the question. Michael, thank you for your predictions. And anyone else who's got something to send to us, please send it to yakyujohn@gmail.com. And you can also go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there. And look for us on iTunes.
Thank you all very much for listening. It's been a pleasure.
And we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball. One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.